So just taking a moment and allowing your eyes to close, if you're comfortable with that, or just be softly focused and taking a few nice deep breaths. Maybe just connecting to the sensation of breathing and the fact that you are present here now. And then gently allowing your awareness to turn within. Noticing what sensations may be happening in your body, or any thoughts that are going on in your mind. And the invitation here is, as the song we just got done singing, can you offer, can you meet whatever is here for you today with love? Just meeting what's here with love. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to change. There's only to love. And then just coming back to your breath. Taking a few more nice deep breaths, gently allowing your awareness back into the room, the sounds, maybe the smells, maybe just the awareness of the other beings who are here today. And as you're ready, gently opening your eyes.
you some background on how this all came about. I had the pleasure of having coffee with James, and the subject came up about the prayer chaplains, which I'm a member. And I said, yeah, it's a pretty diversified group. We're looking at making more headway with the church and understanding more about it. And there seems to be a question in my mind, perhaps other people, that what is their parts to the whole process of praying? And I said, well, as far as I know, daydreaming. And he looked at me like, what? And I said, yeah, I think there's an element there. From there, you can move into meditation, from there to prayer. And I said, then you go back and forth. And he looked at me and he said, I want to know more. So I dug into it. I love doing research. And it's kind of interesting to me, I hope to you. So I want to share this. I want to go through it. And then we'll unpack it with your help. Okay? So daydreams and meditations, is there a relationship? Well, that's the question. And so it says, the first glance, daydreaming and meditation seem quite different. And daydreams is often suspended, often drifting, and into a mild wandering. So it's, you know, you hear the story about, well, the kids are wandering and they don't know what they're thinking about, so we just call it daydreaming. Let it go. But after a while, we found out that there's an involvement that's stepping away from the external world into the inner world. And so that's the woo-woo part. And in, you know, of course, in the process, I ran across this element that says in psychology, this is sometimes connected to the brain default mode network. Now, there's a brain twister right there. Want to stay awake at night? Read that. And then it goes in to say, finally, that but spirituality, the difference lies in the direction. So it's like, oh, okay. So daydreaming is wandering awareness. Meditation is guided awareness. Then it goes in and says, however, the daydreams can become a gateway. When gentle guidance, that same imagination capacity becomes. And then it goes on and says, the visualization in prayer, perspective pondering, and God's presence. This is the part I was really looking for the most. Unity through imagination is not dismissed. It is creative facility. When aligned with the divine truth, it becomes constructive rather than destructive. And I've often heard that people say, daydreaming is a waste of time. So then I ask, what about biblical? Anything in Bible about this? And so scriptures lean strongly toward internal interfocus, which aligns more with meditation than idle drifting. So Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Joshua 1:8 says, meditation on a day to day. And then Philippians 4:8, think on these things. So the final part was not empty thinking, but directed awareness. This is where meditation refines and materializes daydreaming into something sacred. That captured my interest. So going back in it now, how many of you as a kid had daydreams? Any of those daydreams last further into your life?
Yes. Yep.
Did to me. Into your adult life?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Now, how many of you have successfully found a way for you to meditate? Okay. I've also found a lot of people work really hard at it. You know, I got to learn to meditate. I'm going to do it today. Well, it's not that easy, but you're pushing it. Let it be. And it's interesting to note that I myself, as a youth, had three people in my life that were really interested in me, and I thought I'd never meet them. In my late 30s and 40s, I met all three. So was that a daydream come true, or a daydream meditation and praying for that event? I found that to be working for me. And now I find myself being able to meditate quite easily. So I want to suggest to those people that are here and home watching, relax. It's a good experience. It's very rewarding, and it's also very self-fulfilling. Thank you. You have something to say?
Thank you. Can I give you a hug? Is that okay? Just come up here and invade your space? I'm going to ask Reverend Dave if you'd come down, along with all of our other chaplains that are here this morning, Scott and Blossom and Sienna. Just would you come down here to the front and you can stay up there. Yeah, that works fine. Part of, as Dave mentioned, this idea spawned in a coffee conversation and wanting to, explore more about prayer and everything like that. And along with that, really spotlight in a loving and caring way the ministry of our chaplains. We make mention of them every week, and sometimes there can be sort of a insensitivity to the familiar. I don't know if that happens to you, but it happens to me. Oh yeah, our chaplains. I just want to say to each of you, on behalf of us, how deeply we appreciate your commitment to prayer, your commitment to love, and your commitment to pray for the requests that come from this community. They do a lot more than just on Sunday morning. It's during the week and offering prayers and consciousness and everything. And so I just want to say how much we love you, we appreciate you, and we honor you. We have a little something. Yes. We have a little gift that we would like to give to you. Julie's going to help. This is a booklet called And So We Pray, Affirmative Prayers for Real Life. And as Julie hands those out, I know that there are some of you out there who may be wondering, what is this prayer chaplain thing all about? Again, you don't have to be specially picked and chosen by God to be a prayer chaplain. It really starts with just a prompting in the heart. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to offer an opportunity for any of you that would be interested in knowing more about what it means to be a chaplain to come and learn more about that. We're also going to offer some additional training and support for our chaplains here, and just really want to continue to support and strengthen the ministry of prayer that already exists here. This is taking something that's already great and amazing and making it greater and amazing-er, if that's a word. All right? Now, we're going to do the same thing that we did at the start of the service, that little ritual that we just practiced. Do y'all remember that? Raise you, praise you in love. Let me invite you, if you're willing and able, to get to your feet. And may we raise, praise in love our chaplains here three times. Here we go. We raise you, we praise you in love. We raise you, we praise you in love. We raise you, we praise you in love. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is one of those Sundays where it's hard for me to get up and talk because it feels like everything we've done right now. What could I possibly say to top all of this? Yet be that as it may, I'd like to offer a few thoughts about prayer in the context of the little message series that we're going through right now, which is all about talking about sacred relationship, moving from a consciousness of stewardship, which is about management and control, to relationship, which is about sinuous reciprocity, okay? And I just really appreciate, you know, how we, I mean, to manage and control things, yes, it's a human experience. So we're not here to pathologize that or make it wrong or judge it. We're simply here to build our awareness of when we notice that that is dominating our thinking and our thoughts. And can we instead open to living more in relationship? And in our relationship with the divine, in our relationship with the sacred, or in our relationship with whatever works for you, the universe, science, life. This idea of through prayer, meditation, or daydreaming, and Dave, I really know, but I appreciate the way that you were able to distinguish all of those without judgment. You know, because many of us might think, well, daydreaming is not good and meditation is a little better, but prayer is really where it's at. The truth is, in my mind, they all just meld together. Do I daydream? Yep. Do I meditate? Yep. Do I pray? Yep. And sometimes I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. that's just the honest experience. And so the idea again is to welcome it. All right? So I'd like to begin, as always, with a takeaway. For you note takers who need something to take with you into your life from this, okay? Write this down and then you can tune me out the rest of the message, okay? But here's what I'd like to, here's what, and I know that sounds snarky, I'm sorry. No, I'm not, okay? Everything that's done here, everything that comes out of my mouth is intended as an offering in love. It's intended as an offering in love. I'm aware that not everything comes out of my mouth is kind or helpful, and you're very thankful of letting me know that. okay. And this is good, you know. But chew the meat and spit out the bones. Okay. So what works for you, great. Chew it and swallow it. If there's bones, gristle, spit it out. All right. But in this thing of prayer, let me offer these two things. It's not about who or what we pray to, but where we pray from. I'll say it again. It's not about who or what we pray to, but where we pray from. People ask me about Unity Church. You know, who are you guys? What are you about? And, you know, some people like, what are you guys up to? And I just, my elevator speech is Unity started out as the Unity Center for Practical Christianity back in the 30s. It has since evolved into what I see as an interfaith spiritual community where we hold to and we value the teachings of all spirituality, all faith, science, psychology, sociology. We hold the distinction in all of them. We don't say that Christianity is the same as Islam, is the same as Judaism, is the same as Hinduism, is the same as Buddhism, is the same as Shintoism, is the same as, name it, okay? Everything's different, but we aspire to hold them all in value, and so that means different people pray different ways. Some people don't pray at all, and that's okay. I'm aware that some of you sitting here, you know, like, prayer, I just don't do that. That's all right. It's not about what you do or don't do. It's about what happens here in the heart. And I hope that after these reflections today, that'll be clear what I mean by that. Secondly, if you're around here in what we call, this is called New Thought Spirituality, that's its name, you may hear the term affirmative prayer. If you're familiar with that term, affirmative prayer, all affirmative prayer means is we aspire. We don't always do it perfectly, but we aspire to pray and know the solution, not the problem. And that's key in this shift from stewardship and control of a situation to a reciprocal relationship with it. I really appreciated the song, I Release Control. Yeah, you know, before we can take something in, oftentimes we got to let something go. And so many times in my life, it's wanting to manage and control a situation. And so when we pray the solution, not the problem, that's what we mean by that. But again, it's a journey. It's a journey, because when I first heard that, I had no clue what it meant. And I'm still learning what it means. Okay? So let me offer you just four little reflections on this, and we'll see where it goes from there. So what are these solutions when we say pray the problem, not the solution? What could those solutions be? And I want to underline these are potential. Okay? And this list is not exhaustive, but these are just as I've been reflecting on this, okay? First one is this. The divine mind may not change, but our mind may change. In the Christian tradition, it's often said that Jesus did not come to change God's mind about us. And it's important that we remember that, because if you grew up as a Catholic and as a Protestant, you know, we were taught that people were so bad that Jesus had to come die because God was so mad. But when Jesus died, God's mind shifted. And if you take a little bit of a closer look, you realize that it isn't really what Jesus taught. Our minds can change, okay? To be healed is to be whole. To be healed is to be whole. Whatever problem, whatever situation it may be, health-wise, financially, relationally, maybe with your job, maybe with nature, the whole arc of prayer is about the dismantling of illusions and distortions that cause us to think we're separate, and the reconstruction of the reality that we already are. And so healing, in its most fundamental, basic sense at its root, is this journey back to the wholeness that we already are. I think Lao Tzu said it best. When I let go of who I think I am, I become who I might be. I love that. When I let go of who I think I am, and it happens often, I become who I might be. To illustrate this, I want to show you a short little film clip from the film Bruce Almighty. Now, have I shown you this before? I don't think so. Have any of you seen Bruce Almighty? For those of you that didn't, it was in the 90s. It was played by starring Jim Carrey, who plays a character named Bruce Nolan. He's an aspiring television reporter who wants to become an anchor person. And in a very comedic way, he gets into a deal with God, played by Morgan Freeman, where God gives him all of God's powers, okay, including not messing with free will. He can't force someone to love him. And it shows up in his relationship with Jennifer Aniston, whose name just happens to be Grace. Grace. I love it. Towards the end of the movie, there's a scene where he's having a near-death experience, and he and God, Morgan Freeman, have a conversation in heaven about prayer. With that, I'll just let you watch it.
Am I...
You can't kneel down in the middle of a highway and live to talk about it, son.
But why? Why now?
Bruce, you have the divine spark. You have the gift for bringing joy and laughter to the world. I know. I created you.
Quit bragging.
To see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spark.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Use them.
Lord, feed the hungry and bring peace to all of mankind. How's that?
If you want to be Miss America. Now, come on. What do you really care about?
Grace.
Grace. You want her back?
No. I want her to be happy. No matter what that means, I want her to find someone who will treat her with all the love she deserved from me. I want her to meet someone who will see her always as I do. Through your eyes.
Now that's a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
It's good. It's good.
I'm gonna get right on it.
That didn't feel very good.
Got a rhythm? All right, I got a pulse.
All right, let's let him up.
Yeah, get the backboard and brace.
Yep. Bruce? Bruce?
Welcome back. You're lucky to be alive, son. Someone up there must like you.
I hear all that stuff winds up in a warehouse somewhere. To be mad at you forever.
Now you're just showing off.
All right. Yeah, sweet, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes the divine just shows off. Yeah. Okay, but do you see, this is this idea about not who or what you pray to, but where you pray from, what's in your heart. Love and life has its way of teaching us and showing us that. Another solution here. This is a shift from doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Did you grow up with that? You know, that is the golden rule. Some of what's emerging today in our consciousness as being is to treat others as they would have you treat them. Because oftentimes, the way we want to be treated might be different than somebody else wants to be treated. I'll give you an example. We talk a lot about welcoming guests here, you know, and do guests here feel welcome? Now, some people love, break out the dancing bears and the clowns on unicycles, give me a rhythm and confetti and know that I'm a visitor, you know? And others, if you're like me, I'm kind of shy, and I don't want all the hoopla and the brouhaha. I want to kind of just come in and slip out. You see, this is where the awareness of different people wanting to be loved differently comes into play. And when we pray and when we think about what they might be going through, what they might be experiencing, we realize that it's not just about what they're going through, but also what am I going through? Did you catch that? There's more to prayer than just what the individual is going through, but it's our experience with it. Judith, can I not pick on you a little bit, but you told the story last week of your experience with the biopsy. And, you know, when I first heard that, I was immediately saddened and worried for Judith, but then also myself. I adore her. And the gifts that she offers in music therapy, I mean, it's cutting-edge stuff. I hope you come to her workshop at the end of May because you're going to really be blessed by that. But I realized, okay, God, divine spirit, love, whatever, you know, I am going to join you with Judith in knowing the perfectly whole being that she already is. And I thank you for the gift of her in my life. And whatever this is all going to work out to be, I know that. And we all celebrated last week that the report came back clear and you're doing fine. But do you understand? You see, it's this place of entrusting ourselves to the working of how someone else is going to work as well. I've told you also, this is another illustration. Lake Coeur d'Alene is my happy place. It's my happy place. Yeah. And this morning I went out early and did a little walk around Tubbs Hill and just took in the beauty of the lake, the mountains, the trees, And I get this message. It's not a voice, it's not words, but it's in my body that just says, I belong here, just the way I am. I belong here, just the way I am. And it's my intention as the minister of this spiritual community to offer myself as authentically and genuinely as I can. It's a journey for me because I'm still learning who I am. There's parts of me that I don't know. And I'm grateful that you're helping heal me as well. And I tell people here, you know, I care more about church health than I do church growth. I've been in this line of work for a long time. I know a lot of tricks up my sleeve to grow a church, you know. And I'll tell you what, they're all artificial. People ask me, am I having fun? I'm having fun. Friday night, I had a lot of fun. More fun than I thought I would. And so that affected my participation in Saturday's work crew. So that's all I'll say about that. But I am having the time of my life here, you know? And it's a learning journey, okay? Prayer is helping me do that. One more thing about the lake that I wanted to tell you about is I was walking the trail this morning, looking out and taking in the beauty of the lake. I was also noticing the trees. And you know what struck me about the trees? Is how they're growing in rocky soil. Have you noticed, if you've been on Tubbs Hill, how rocky that soil is? Now, I don't know if someone came in and rototilled the rocks and put in fertilizer and Miracle-Gro and set, you know, but I just, as I was taking that in, I was thinking of how hard we work. At least me, I am not a gardener, okay? I've got 10 thumbs, things, I do all the things and plants die. I just don't have that gift, so I'm grateful that others do. But I marveled at the perplexity and the paradox of nature left to itself finds a way. And I thought about this, again, from stewardship to relationship, of listening to what the land is showing me about the paradox of soil that majestic pine tree should have no business growing in, and yet life finds a way. And I prayed. I was grateful. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here in this beautiful place where I'm experiencing stuff I never experienced on the other side of the mountains. I'm grateful for that. All right, one more, I think. Oh, an increased capacity to hold polarities and paradox. This is important because we would agree we're a polarized country, aren't we? Right? I heard a story of a gentleman who wanted to take martial arts. And the martial arts teacher told this student, if you want to be my student, you've got to kill me. Yeah, that's what he said, huh? So he thought about it, and he's like, I don't really want to kill you. But okay. So he threw the teacher a punch. The teacher grabbed his wrist, bent it, threw him off balance, and leaned in and gave him a kiss. So he did it again. This time he did a kick. The teacher did the same thing, took his leg, turned it a little bit, got him off balance, drew him in, and gave him a kiss. This time the student's going, what is going on here? So he turned around, offered him a reverse kick, same thing, grabbed his leg, turned it, brought him in for a kiss. At the end of the lesson, the teacher told him this, novices see predators as an attack. Masters see predators as an invitation to dance. It's great, isn't it? Prayer can help you hold that mystery and that paradox in tension, in love, in compassion. How many of you go throughout the course of the day and you'll see something, you'll hear something, maybe from your neighbor next door who's got a different sign in their yard than the one that you would put out, and you feel it as an attack? At the end of the service, we pray for peace, right? Let there be peace on earth. But you know what? There's a shadow side to peace. How many of you have ever had conflict with a parent? How many of you have ever had contact with a partner or a spouse? Have you ever had conflict with a child? Have you ever had conflict with a neighbor or a coworker? Have you ever had sinister. Yeah, you laugh, right? Because it's true, okay? Here's the idea. Here's the idea. There's a shadow to that. And if you think about this evolutionarily, we've evolved because of the presence of predator and prey. Okay? Predator can be shown up, can show up as power, as control, as status. Prey can show up as being a victim or being ashamed. The yin and the yang of all of that is part of the dance of life and love and evolution. And prayer, my friends, included with meditation and daydreaming, is a part of that process of coming back to the dance. And I love dancing. And I hear that we offer dancing around here at the church and everything. Ecstatic dance, if you've never done it before, highly, highly, highly recommend it. But this is how we live with that. And we can see what our minds perceive as an attack, as an invitation to dance. So much more I want to share on that, but we'll save that for later. The last one is this. I think ultimately, prayer is about cultivating wonder and awe. I experienced wonder and awe this morning on the Tubbs Hill Trail, taking in the beauty of this land that we live in. Friday night at our volunteer dinner, I was back playing bartender. First time, I did a good job. Thank you, Dave. Good. There were a couple times where I just turned around and I just looked at the people eating and I thought, oh my gosh, there are 70, 80, I didn't count, and I don't count, by the way. Some of you do, and that's okay. But I thought, look at this group of people gathering on a Friday night in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, could be doing anything else, and yet are choosing to come and love and laugh, eat some really good street tacos, eat some really good Tres Leches cake that Kathy made. Joe here makes a mean hot sauce. A mean hot sauce. I mean, it was so good. Tracy, I don't see her here today, enchiladas, I mean, all this kind of stuff, you know. But I just took it in. I did the same thing yesterday when I was here. There was a good amount, a handful of people who were here all over this property. Ernie was here with his electric chainsaw cutting down branches and everything. I mean, and again, I was just caught up in the sense of wonder and awe of people who are here, who choose to, in love, give generously and be with each other generously. And at the end of the day, it's about awe and wonder. Maybe you can bring that same sense of wonder and awe the next time that message comes from the doctor, the next time the bank statement comes and says you're out of money, the next time that partner says, hey, I think we're done, the next time the message from your boss says, this is over, you're fired, whatever it might be. Can you see, to say something is beautiful and wondrous and awful is not just the pleasurable and the joyful times, but it's also the unpleasurable and the trying, difficult times. Can that be held in wonder and awe? That's what I see here among this community. And it's a joy to be journeying with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so it is.